Welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and I'm delighted to be studying the second half of Sefer Shmot with you here, and we are now nearing the end of Parashat Ki Tisa, subsequent to the dialogue back and forth between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the negotiations, if you will, over the fate of Am Yisrael, the special status of Am Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remaining with them, even in spite of the Chet HaEgel. We now come to Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Aleph. In this podcast, we'll be looking at the first 10 psukim in this Perek, and in the final podcast, we'll go to the end of Perek Lamed Dalid. And we will see that the final sign of Hashem's full acceptance of Am Yisrael, or re-acceptance, is what we might call re-covenanting. In other words, there was a brit made. The brit was made at Har Sinai. We read about it in Parshat Yitro. We read about it further in Parshat Mishpatim. The notion of a brit was first introduced at the beginning of Yitro, Ushmartem Pritir, or the beginning of the Matan Torah piece in Perek Yutet. And that brit was then consummated, as it were, in the last words that Moshe got in the cloud in Parshat Mishpatim, and then the korban that Moshe made, which was the Dam HaBrit, over these words. The sense was that brit had been violated, had been broken, and in a sense, it's as if it had been torn up. And the feeling of that was expressed when Hashem says, I'm not going to be with you, I'm going to send a malach, if I'm with you, I'll destroy you, etc. And Moshe stands firmly in several different expressions that we've seen in the last two podcasts, demanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stay with them, recognize them, demonstrate his love, and demonstrate that they really are his nation. And so now we have to recovenant once Hashem has agreed to that. And there we go to Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Aleph. The first thing to attend to is that that covenant has a written form. The written form is the Luchot HaBrit. The Luchot HaBrit were, perhaps courageously or heroically, smashed by Moshe when he came down and in front of the people who had participated in the Egel festivities, we'll call it. And so that needs to be attended to. Vayomar Adonai Moshe, Psol Lecha Shnei Luchot Avanim Karishonim. וחטבתי על הלוחות את הדברים אשר היו על הלוחות הראשונים אשר שיברת. So Hashem says to Moshe, you carve two tablets of stone like the first ones. And what were the first ones? The first ones were either, as the simple reader would, given by God, which means God created them, or else, like some of the Rishonim suggest, were already that way naturally. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Moshe to carve out stones that are exactly like the first ones as they were made. And this he's going to have to do at the bottom of the mountain. V'chatavti al haluchot. Hashem says, I will then write on the luchot the words that were on the first luchot that you broke. And the famous drasha of Shir Shibarta is Yishakoach Shir Shibarta. In other words, Hashem is confirming that Moshe's breaking the luchot was a good thing. And now it's time for a second set of luchot. Notice, however, that there is now going to be a partnership. Beforehand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the luchot to Moshe, fully Maaseh Elohim, as we read earlier. Now it's going to be a combination, which is Maaseh Enosh, man is going to carve out the tablets. Maaseh Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to write on the tablets. What is written on those tablets? Well, it's very clear in the Pasuk. What's written on the tablets is exactly what was written on the first tablets, which leads us to a very large question, which we're going to address right now, which is, what is the difference between the Aseret HaDibrot as presented here in Sefer Shmot, which we heard back in Parshat Yitro, and the Aseret HaDibrot as represented in Parshat Va'etchanan? There are those, including Rabbeinu Ibn Ezra, Avraham Ibn Ezra, who maintain that what was written on the Luchot HaRishonot, meaning the broken tablets, is that which was expressed in Parshat Yitro, and that which was written on the Luchot HaShniot, the ones that are about to be written on here, about to be carved out, is what's expressed in Parshat Vayetchanan. This is difficult for several reasons. Reason number one is because here it says, V'chatavte ha'luchot etadvayim ha'shayu ha'luchot ha'shinim ha'shashibarta. Which makes it sound as if the second luchot will have exactly what was written on the first luchot, meaning, we assume, what was said in Parshat Yitro will be rewritten by God on the new luchot. The second thing is that the terms that are difficult in the second telling, in Vayetchanan, one of the terms that repeats twice there, very difficult, Kasher Tzivcha Adonai Elohecha, in the Dibur about Shabbat and the Dibur about Kibbur Avim. And that wouldn't be very meaningful in the context of this new Brit. And the simplest read of what happens in Vayetchanan is exactly what the text says. Moshe is retelling a new generation about what happened in Mamad Har Sinai, and is retelling them about the Aseret HaDibrot, and he is adding in his own commentary on it, such as Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, and several other components there that are aimed at a generation that A, was not present for it, or if they were, there were very little, and B, and perhaps more critically, a generation that is on the cusp of entering the land, and not a generation that had just left Egypt. And that has an impact, for instance, on the order of the items that we're not going to be to covet, whereas in the Aseret HaDibrot in Yitro, Lo Tachmod Beit Re'echa, and in the Aseret HaDibrot is represented in Vayetchanan, it's Lo Tachmod Eshet Re'echa. And that may reflect a different reality about what are the main things that people are looking at when coming into the land, as opposed to having just left Mitzrayim. In any case, those differences really belong to the study of Parshat Vayetchanan. But again, that approach that says that these luchot that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to write. Is the luchot that Moshe is going to carve out, Shem is going to write on, seem to be exactly what it was that was written on the first luchot. In any case, we move on. Ve'yenachon laboker. Now this sounds eerily like Matan Torah. You should be ready in the morning. Ve'alita v'boker al Har Sinai. You will go up in the morning to Har Sinai. And you will stand at attention for me there on the top of the mountain. So as you're going to come up with these empty luchot, and up there I'm going to write on them. Again, echoes of the first aliyah of Matan Torah. Nobody goes up with you. Now, unlike the earlier Matan Torah, that means even Aharon, and Hur, and Yoshua, and Nadav, and Abihu, and anybody else who might have been mentioned as coming up to onto the mountain, is not. Nobody's going with you. Nobody can be seen on the mountain. The sheep and the herds cannot graze el mul harahu. Now mul, interesting word. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the very beginning of Parshat Yitro. Mul in modern Hebrew means facing or opposite. Mul in Tanakh actually means at the foot of. So they cannot graze at the foot of that mountain. The mountain is off limits. And notice that, in a sense, we're ramping up, raising the stakes of this Ma'amad over the Ma'amad of Har Sinai, the original one. In the original one, we had several people going up with Moshe part of the way. Here Moshe is going all on his own. Similar to original Mamad Har Sinai, there is a sense of preparation, and tomorrow is going to happen. Similar to the original Mamad Har Sinai, animals also have to stay away. However, unlike original Mamad Har Sinai, there is no cloud going to be covering the mountain. Moshe has to go all the way to the top of the mountain and there encounter God. Here we could even understand this as a test of the people's understanding, because Moshe is going to go up again to the mountain and go into a cloud, we assume a cloud, and the people are going to see it, and are they going to be able to restrain themselves from the anxiety and everything else and hysteria that led to the eagle this time? We'll see. What does Moshe do? V'yifsol shnei luchot avanim karishonim. He does exactly as told. He carves out two luchot, just like the first ones. V'yashkem Moshe v'boker v'yal har Sinai kasher tzivah Adonai oto. So he gets up early in the morning. He goes up to har Sinai, just like Hashem commanded him. V'yikach piyado shnei luchot avanim. And he takes in his hands two luchot avanim. Now what happens? V'yeren Adonai be'anan v'yatsev imo sham. Vayikra v'shem Adonai. Here's where Tamei HaMikra play a critical role. There are three clauses in this pasuk, each of them three words. Vayered Adonai b'anan. God came down in a cloud, very similar to what we heard at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Vayatsev imo sham. He stood with him there. So who's he and who's with him? Well, clearly the two players are Hashem and Moshe. It sounds like Vayetzev is Moshe. Why? Because what does Hashem say to him in Pasuk Bet? V'nitzavta li. So you shall stand at attention with me. And since everything here is Kasher Tziva, we now assume Vayetzev imo means Moshe stands with him, which means the first clause, the actor is Hashem. Vayered Adonai me'anan. The actor in the second is Moshe. Vayetzev imo sham. He stands at attention with Hashem there in the cloud. And now what happens? Vayikra v'shem Adonai. Now this phrase could be read two ways. Tamei HaMikra dictate that you read, he calls out in the name. Who calls out in the name? Hashem does. And that's why Baalei Kriya have to be careful to read that phrasing properly, as opposed to the other way you could read it, which is Vayikra v'shem Adonai. He calls out in Hashem's name. In which case, who's calling out? Well, based on the syntax, it would seem that it's Moshe who calls out, because he's the last subject mentioned, Vayetzev. However, as we see from the next piece, if Vayikra is referring to the next words, it is Hashem who speaks. If, on the other hand, Vayikra is an independent phrase, that meaning he called out, Hashem, please forgive us, please show us that you're going to answer us, and then Hashem answers, then it could be Moshe speaking. And now what happens? Vayavo Adonai panav vayikra. Hashem passes in front of his face. And there have been numerous mentions of panav in this passage, meaning in the post-Egel Kapara passage, about lo yirani hadam v'chai lo tuchal lirot et panai. Hashem speaks to Moshe panim al panim. There's a whole issue of face, and whose face is it? Is it Hashem's face, or is it Moshe's face? As we will see in the last podcast, at the end of this parasha, Moshe's face becomes a prominent thing. So here it's also somewhat confusing, and as we have seen throughout the narratives of Matan Torah, there is what seems to be a deliberate ambiguity to the details and who's doing what, because that's the nature of this event of Matan Torah. It's clouded literally and figuratively in mystery. Vayikra, and he calls out. So this Vayikra, if it is an explication of the Vayikra in the previous Pasuk, then that means the Vayikra in the previous Pasuk is Hashem calling out. If not, then it could be Moshe. But this one is certainly Hashem calling out. And if that's the case, then who's Panav? It sounds like it's Panav Shel Hashem. Maybe. Again, unclear. And what does he call out? Adonai, Adonai, uses the four-letter name of Hashem. El Rachum V'Chanun. Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed v'Emet. We'll finish the entire sequence. Notzer Chesed la'alafim, Nosei Avon v'Afesha v'Chata'a, v'Nakeh lo yinakeh, Pokein Avon Avot al Banim v'Al Bnei Vanim, Ral Shileshim v'Al Ribeim. So now, what is this statement? He says, first of all, Hashem Hashem. In other words, it's a declaration, almost evocative. Now, why would Hashem be saying this? So, we're going to look back at that. El Rachum V'Chanun. is an El Almighty God who is compassionate and full of grace. Erech HaPayim, for Rav Chesed V'Emet. Erech HaPayim meaning long-suffering. And Rav Chesed, lots of kindness, and Emet, and truth. Now that word truth may stick in the craw, because if Hashem is a God of truth, then maybe the forgiveness doesn't seem to work. There maybe is a checks and balances here, or a balancing act. Notzer chesed la'alafim. He guards kindness for thousands. We assume here thousands mean thousands of generations based on what we heard in Aseret HaDibrot, and what we'll hear a little bit later on in this passage. Nosei avon, vafesha v'chata'an. Nosei means he bears, he carries. And imagine sin like a burden. So he picks up the sin. Avon. What's an avon? Avon is a deliberate sin. Pesha, rebellion. Chata'a, errors. V'nake, on the other hand, v'nake lo yinake. He will not cleanse. Pokein avon avot al banim v'al b'nei vanim. He remembers the sins of the parents on their children and on their grandchildren. Al shilei shim v'al b'nei for the third and fourth generation, seemingly. So we get now a very mixed message. Hashem appears, and Hashem makes this declaration to Moshe. And the declaration is that Hashem is filled with forgiveness and compassion, long-suffering, kindness, truth, guards the kindness for generations. Now, Notzach Chesed Alafim is a little bit different. Not that it's Hashem's kindness, but he guards the kindness of people for thousands of generations, meaning people act kindly, he'll hold on to that for generations, and that leads to Nosei Avon Vafesha V'Chata'a. It'll bear the burden of sin. And we seem to be getting, we're going to stop at this point for a second, we seem to be getting something of the raison, the rationale behind these midot, these different descriptions and attributes of God's kindness. God is filled with compassion, long-suffering, filled with chesed, but it's all anchored in emet. Why is that? Because he's holding on to the kindness for thousands, meaning for thousands of generations. He's not giving this carte blanche, but rather there have been the avot who have done great things, and God repays that. How? By taking the sin of the children on his shoulders and accepting that burden. And it's almost as if he's repaying those who have done the great kindnesses generations back and repaying them by now in kind, taking the sin of their children on his shoulders. However, because Emet is driven by Emet, he will not cleanse. And remember the sins of parents on their children on for three and four generations. So which is it? So Chazal answer this question very simply. If you have people who continue to behave like their parents and the parents behave badly, then the kids are punished for that. You don't have an out of saying, I didn't know any better, that's how I was raised. If on the other hand, parents behave badly and you behave differently, then you're on your own and you have your own schuyot. And that's, of course, the famous passage in Yechezkel Yurchet. But the first half of this entire piece is not to be read as Hashem just forgives, free, no problem. But rather, there are two conditions here. A, you attach yourself as a descendant and a part of the nation of people who have done these great kindnesses of the Avot. And second of all, that you yourself turn away from bad behavior, which means it's all dependent on tshuva. And that's the component of Emet, which is the axis around which this entire reading depends. What's Moshe's response? Vayimaher Moshe, vayikor artza v'yishtachu. Moshe very quickly bows. It's the only time you ever hear that. Moshe very quickly bows. Why does he do that? Because what has Moshe been standing on the whole time? He wants the relationship to be restored the way that it was. Not just, okay, I won't destroy you. Okay, I'll let you come into the land. Okay, I'll send a malach. Or even, okay, I'll go with you. He wants it to be restored the way it was. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu here promises that he's willing to do. And re-covenanting and rewriting the Luchot is the physical symbol of that. And so what does Moshe now say? Vayomer, imna matzati chein b'enecha Adonai, which Moshe has been using the whole time. If I find favor in your eyes, yelechna Adonai bekirbeinu, then you should walk with us. Walk with us as you promised you would do when the Mishkan was going to be built, shechanti betocham, and as you did when we left Mitzrayim, v'Adonai alech lifnehem yomam, ki am kshe orefu. In other words, even in spite of the fact that they're an am kshe oref, they're going to behave this way, and maybe that will even sin in the future, you please walk among us. And by the way, if they're a stiff-necked people, then what could happen, as Hashem said, I'll be with you and I'll destroy you. So what is it? Salachta la'avoneinu u'lechatateinu u'lechaltanu. And this is a huge demand, a huge request. He says, look, they're a stiff-necked people, but if I found favor in your eyes and you're willing to do what I ask, then you stay with us. And you continually forgive us for Avon and for Achatat. Notice he leaves Pesha out, because rebellion is a whole different story. Rebellion isn't appetite, rebellion isn't greed, rebellion is built on a rejection of authority, and that's left out. U'nechaltanu, which means you will then inherit us. You are taking us as a full inheritance, meaning we are your children. If we are your children, we are your nation, there's no turning back. And you stay with us. And because you've just told us that you are a forgiving God, you will forgive. And now, Hashem answers, Vayomer, Hine Anochi Koret Brit. I'm going to cut a brit. As we know from numerous passages in Tanakh, the style of making a brit in the ancient Near East was to take something, an animal perhaps, and cut it. Brit Ben Amatorim is a good example. The passage in Yirmiyahu Lamed Daled explicates that. And so that's the verb that we use to make a brit, to cut a brit. Neged kol amcha yaseh niflaot, shelo nivru'u v'chol ha'aretz u'v'chol ha'goyim. And this is not the brit, this is the sign of the brit. I'm going to make a brit. The brit is to reconnect fully with the nation. And in the presence of all of your nation, look, Hashem again is saying to Moshe, your nation, people you brought out of Mitzrayim, etc., I'm going to do wonders. Wonders that were never created throughout the rest of the world and among any other nations. The nation that you are among, not ani bekirbo, you said yelech bekirbeinu, saying the nation that you're among is going to see the maaseh Hashem kinorahu, asher ani osei mach, that I'm going to do with you. And so now we have an expectation of new wonders, new miracles going to happen. And that's going to demonstrate that Hashem has taken them back. They are Moshe's nation. They are the nation that Moshe is in the midst of. But Hashem is still taking them back. And this, of course, is the great news. What we're going to see in the final podcast is the details of that brit, and then followed by the coda of this entire story and how things end up with Moshe, Hashem, and B'nai Yisrael. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.